As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And as always, I am so elated and happy to have this opportunity to be here with you and be able to talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. And today is Love and Romance Friday, so we want to talk about things that have to do with love and romance. And when you talk about love and romance, there's a positive side and there's a negative side. And so we have to be prepared to talk about all the different sides related to being in love. And what I want to talk about today is forbidden love. And I sent out to everybody a list of behaviors or stories related to what we would call forbidden love. But there are a lot of different areas that fall underneath that category. And we have been dealing with these issues for many years. Biblically, we've seen them in the Bible, where people should have not gotten involved in different relationships that were toxic. Sometimes these relationships are known from the very beginning, but sometimes we find ourselves playing with the thought that we can control these relationships. In modern times, we find that to be the case when people are getting involved in relationships that may cost them their freedom. And so we want to talk today just about toxic relationships and how you should go about protecting yourself from getting involved in those relationships and avoiding the mishaps that occur when you get involved in those relationships. And we have to recognize that there must be some enticement or some enjoyment about the relationship, or it wouldn't be something that people would get trapped into. So they go into the relationship searching for a certain amount of enjoyment or excitement, only to get caught up and then find themselves deal with the downside of the connection. And so we want to talk about, again, I sent you stories about teachers because I'm a teacher, and certainly there seems to be a rise in educators getting involved in relationships that are not or that are forbidden relationships. But the same thing happens on a lot of levels. You have incest. You have bosses. Recently, we just had a lot of CEOs and high-powered men being involved with relationships on their jobs. So today we just want to talk about how do you avoid toxic relationships, how do you identify toxic relationships, and how do you try to live your life in a way that you don't fall prey to your self-desire. And part of the issue is just self evaluation and identifying those things that keep you or have you even thinking about the possibility. Because if you can avoid the thought of the possibility, you can certainly avoid the forbidden love that exists beyond that. But we also have to ask ourselves, how did some of these relationships become forbidden over time? You know, it's interesting that there was a period of time 200 years ago when women were getting married at 12, 13, and 14, and it was acceptable because the longevity of life wasn't as long as it is now. And children were thought of as adults earlier age, and they were able to leave the house at an earlier age to get married. And so we have to ask ourselves, we know that because of the change related to our society, did it become a thing where 18 became the age of adulthood? It's important that we realize that change in our society has always dictated what became forbidden and what wasn't. So let's just talk today about how do we deal with these issues to keep ourselves morally out of trouble and criminally out of trouble and not evil that is around us. Cheryl, you know, we have to talk about as Christians, throughout our Bible and throughout the history, there were forbidden love, and people had to learn how to avoid it or become traumatized because of it.
Good afternoon, and how is everyone doing today? You know, it's becoming more common than not hearing about the different ages or how youngsters are getting to the point where they find themselves involved with someone that's much older than them, you know, sexually. And I feel like the adult, it's their responsibility. It's our responsibility to know when to walk away. And like you said, you know, according to the word, you know, we should live by it. Mostly, you know, everybody who are Christians try to live by it, because I've done, you know, we've heard preachers and people in church that also have gotten caught up. But it's the temptation, how we have to be able to fight the temptation. And in doing so, you know, in Ephesians, we have to put our full armor on, because, you know, the devil will come to us wrapped up all kind of ways, disguising themselves, and we can fall prey to it. So, you know, we have to fight against the temptations and those desires because we know that they're wrong. And especially we have to look at the consequences. You know, what are we doing to a child's mind? We're doing something like this because we have to manipulate their mind to get them to become involved at a young age. And like you said, you know, back at one time, you know, getting married at a young age was more common. But now we have laws set up that we have to abide by the laws. And when you're an adult and when you're considered as a child, and we as an adult have to uphold that, or we'll find ourselves, you know, in a lot of trouble and facing a lot of consequences, you know, to our actions. And it has been, you know, I read some of the articles that you sent out, and man, I just, oh, my heart goes out to those young ones because now it has impacted their life for the rest of their lives. But we have to learn how to fight the temptation, and we have to know how to use the word in doing it.
Kathy, we've been told over and over again to protect your ear gates and protect your eye gates, and we're told that there's nothing new under the sun. And certainly all of the people who are aware of that, even inside the church, you know, the articles I sent out were just related to teachers falling prey. But we find ourselves that even ministers who preach each and every day find themselves getting involved with the congregation in ways they know they shouldn't be. In Tallahassee, we had a minister who got caught by a husband fully unclothed with his wife upstairs in their daughter's room. And so this man had been a minister for many years, but the truth is that there were people in the Bible who fell prey the same exact way. How do we protect ourselves from, obviously, temptation that has been with us for many, many years, and even biblically? Are you there?
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon, James and everyone else. You just got to watch and pray because even as a believer, you know, if you're not grounded, if you're not praying, if you're not seeking God, you can still fall into temptation for another person. That's why the Bible tells us that we have to seek the Lord daily and renew our mind and our thoughts, because daily we have thoughts about all different kind of things. So that's just something that you have to do daily. And if I just don't know what a person does who do not pray and seek the Lord every day, how they are able to not be tempted, because it's hard for us, you know, as believers, it's hard to not be tempted to do things that are wrong. So that's just something as an individual person is something that you have to work on yourself. That's a self-development that needs to happen within a person's mind and in a person's heart.
And you know that it's not going anywhere. You know, one of the things that we have to be concerned about is the fact that it has to be constant prayer. You have to be vigilant, because the devil comes in all kind of different ways. And the same stories we read in the Bible, those things in more ways than not are being done here as well. You know, David sent a man to the front line hoping that he would be killed so that he could have his wife. That was a forbidden love. So, Audrey Jones, how do we deal with this stuff, and how do we, the professionals, stay out of this? You have people losing their businesses. You having people being sued for millions and millions of dollars. And at the center of all of this is sexual intimacy.
Well, hello, everybody. I agree with what everyone has said. I mean, not only children, ministers, CEOs, but also ordinary people fall prey to this. I think what we have to do is first have a list of standards and know what we will and will not tolerate. We also cannot lose sight of ourselves in a relationship, and we have to live by the word and stay prayed up.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a constant fight. Seemingly, some people don't have to wage it on a daily basis, but certainly there are others. And, you know, you have to be mindful. I know that for me, my daughter was born when I was less than she. Well, she was conceived when I was 15, and she was born when I was 16. And I thank God every day that I didn't have any other children, because I have been able to commit myself to this one child and been able to continue to be her father even now as an adult. But you see so many people who seemingly can't control their behaviors and fall prey to their desires and end up having more children than they can care about, which leads to some of the social ills that we have presently. So, Joyce, love and romance, in a lot of ways, can be self-defeating, not only to the individuals involved, but to our society as a whole. Cheryl?
You're so right, that we can fall. I mean, you know, I've seen, and just for an example, I've seen a pastor, you know, so well liked, but, you know, we can't keep our eyes on man, because man fall all the time. So we have to keep our eyes on God, and knowing that that is where the answers lie, not in man. And sometimes God got a way of bringing this temptation to some, you know, in front of us, so that we can see that it's him that we have to keep our eyes on, and, you know, and not man. And, you know, it has become more common. You know, once you see one article and then you start to see other related articles on this, and you don't realize how so widespread it is. But it really is. And just like everybody is saying, you know, we got to be grounded. We have to have standards. We have to have morals. You know, and if we find ourselves, then we need to call somebody, you know, to help us through whatever it is. Or if they got to be with us, you know, we are our brother's keeper, you know, throughout the time until we can get past whatever it is, whatever necessary help, you know, that somebody would need. But like everybody keeps saying, you know, we got to stay prayed up. We got to be grounded in the word, and we got to have some morals about us and some standards that we have to have set.
Right.
And one of the issues becomes, you know, you have to protect yourself from yourself. You know, like doctors, when they're dealing with patients, sometimes have a nurse in there with them. And so they do this because they don't want to have anyone come back and say they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And even ministers need to adopt that as well, because ministers can be doing what they say they want to do, but then the devil comes in as the layperson. So, you know, we can say that it's, you know, it's the minister's fault, but a lot of times the minister is being being attacked or gone after by the people in the congregation, and that he has to protect himself and his values and his morals from those who are supposed to be learning from him. Kathy, what, you know, your thoughts? You know, it seems like both sides sometimes are falling prey to each other.
Yeah, you just have to You just have to trust who you are as an individual. And when you're having meetings like that, I don't necessarily think that pastors need to have someone with them. I mean, I know you just suggested that because the doctors are now doing it, but I don't think that that's necessary. I know that some pastors do. If they're in a meeting with a single person, they bring in the wife, you know, just to make it a little bit more comfortable for themselves and the person that's coming in. But I don't think they should mandate that because sometimes the people come in there sincere about what it is that they want to talk about. And then sometimes, you know, they don't. But in those cases, most of the time, the pastors are using wisdom. I know we do hear cases where, you know, there were pastors that did certain things to individuals, but I don't think that should be something that's mandated because of a couple of incidents that happened. I don't know. I just don't think it should be. But, you know, the pastors are representing Christ also as we are representing Christ. And I'm assuming that they're, you know, praying before they even go into this meeting so that they can use wisdom when they come in contact with the individual people that are coming through. But as a person that, you know, has been in the church for a while, you know, sometimes you don't always have to go to the pastor. You can go directly to the Lord for yourself. But, you know, people don't know that because they're not reading the Word of God. But it is okay to do that because sometimes you do need someone else just to confirm what it is that you're going through or you're needing or believing from the Lord.
Well, Audrey Jones, what are your thoughts about how do you go about protecting yourself when some things need to be private, but at the same time you have to be aware that there are times when sometimes people don't even mean to be leaning to that side of themselves when they're coming for opportunity to meet with you. And that happens with teachers as well. I mean, teachers have been known to have to leave their door open or ask another teacher to step in when they're having private meetings with students. So people are finding that they need to somehow or another need some added protection when it comes to dealing with the opposite sex and forbidden love.
Well, you know, I agree with what you're saying. They do it basically to protect themselves. And oftentimes when someone meet with someone, they may already know that person's character. So there may be times that, yeah, I would have somebody in with me. Now, when we look back and we talk about this subject, I think that with some of these people that's doing these things, they're sick people. And in some instances, this type of behavior could be considered like an addiction, you know, with some people. How do you guys feel about that? Do you think it could be categorized as an addiction with the people that does this thing repeatedly?
Just like anything else, some people find themselves unable to control their desires. I mean, once something pops in their head, they just feel like they need to act on it. And so I do think that it's real for some people, but some people feel empowered by their positions to move forward with their desires. So it may be where you are in life that lends itself to you behaving in a certain way. So what we need to recognize that the statement is not, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, these challenges have been a part of human existence from the very beginning. And so we have to recognize what it is that is forbidden and find some way to avoid it so that our lives don't become impacted by it. I just believe there are times when women who deal with domestic violence saw and recognized some ugly traits in the person they were dating and somehow wanted to believe that those things were going to disappear. and not realizing that they were putting their lives in danger. I had an aunt I've shared before. I had an aunt who was murdered, a man who she was dating after she divorced my uncle. And my uncle is always saying he really felt as though he contributed to her death because he should have behaved better when they were married. And so there's a lot of times when we are not avoiding those things that will hurt us because we find ourselves falling in love or falling in lust with that which is not healthy for us. Andre, what are your thoughts about forbidden love and how we find a lot of different professionals being unable to control their behaviors with either their clients, their students, or their parishioners?
Well, fantastic Friday to everyone. And I think the key answer that I've heard so far is just you just have to continue to be spiritual, prayed up, and guided and led according to God's will. And that's all of us. It doesn't matter what the title is. It doesn't matter what the occupation is. We know that Scripture tells us that, you know, God chooses, He selects, He calls us all to different purposes, but we all have a responsibility. But we all human too, and we have to just look to the Lord for guidance, because while our heart may be in the right place, you know, others may have different thoughts and intention, and at any given time, the scenario can change for whatever reason. So, James, I think that's just an individual issue that all of us have to really just respond to, no matter what level, what title, or what position that we hold.
But, Andre, you know, you say that, and be mindful of this, because, you know, I'll get something wrong. So I need Kathy's help and everybody's help who's on here. David was prayed up, okay? David was prayed up, and he wanted to send a man to his death so he could steal his wife. You know, the fables that we hear about men falling prey to women who they know or should have known weren't in their best interest and that the love was forbidden got their strength taken away from them. This is not something new. Even the most prayed up men and women have a tendency to not be able to control that which is a part of all of us. I mean, all of us want love and seek love and desire to be loved. And sometimes it's right in front of our faces, and we know that it isn't right for us, but yet we cross the line anyway. And that's the reason why so many of our marriages are being destroyed.
Yeah, and that's because we all are adults and we have what we call free will. And we it's a constant battle. You're exactly right. And that's the reason why I say it's an individual situation that all of us deal with, no matter what position. It is a constant battle. But, you know, you can be prayed up, like you say, but at any given moment, anything can change. And that's why we have to know that we can't depend on ourselves. We have to go beyond that, because within our human self, we're fallible. We're sinners. We're going to respond according to the flesh. But I tell you what, if you you can't have light and darkness in the same place at the same time, it's just like if you can't have the word in the same place when evil is going to occur. So we all have to make a choice of how we act. And how we act upon. If something comes into our mind, then we as adults, we choose whether we're going to act upon it or whether we're not. Now, the spirit within us kind of guide us and tug at us, but it's still our free will, our choice to make that decision to make it happen. So I still go back to saying it's an individual situation, individual item that you have to, each one of us, each individual deals with.
And we know that all types of leadership has fallen prey. You know, we've had presidents who've fallen prey to it, ministers who've fallen prey to it. Again, all type of CEOs have fallen prey to it. And it is one of the most destructive behaviors when not controlled that exist amongst human beings is their inability to control their desires and their needs to be loved and want to be loved by someone. And so, Cheryl, as we go through our daily process, it usually doesn't take but one misstep to have your whole life crash before your eyes based on this emotion that we all see.
Yeah, you're so right, because as being a person, a counselor, I have many situations that, you know, not saying it's hard to believe, but it's, you know, and I don't want to pass any judgment, but there's so much of mingling going on, and with just forbidden, just, you know, things that are forbidden. Women who have found themselves with other women that are, and they are married. Men that find themselves with a wife, girlfriend, and a baby mama. And, I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, and it's so shocking. But because, you know, so many people, so many of us are not surrounded around those people, you know, we don't realize how common this is. And one thing I wanted to say when we was discussing the part about, you know, the pastor, you know, not having anyone in the room, I kind of slightly disagree a little bit with that, is for the simple reason the pastor needs protection as well as the client needs protection. And when I say that, even though if the pastor does not have any motives, you know, I've seen it, where the person, the client has motives, and they will go in and they will begin to do something, and then they'll turn the situation around, you know, just like we saw in the Bible. They will turn the situation around as if the pastor was doing something, and all the while it was them, you know. So I just, you know, this day and age, it's like you got to find yourself covered in every area. You know, the pastor or whoever the person may have no intentions, but the person that coming in, you know, may have a motive. And although we thinking that they're coming in for one thing, they may be coming in, you know, strictly for something else. So I just feel like, you know, in those kind of cases, in shut door, because now there was my son's father wanted me to do his hair, and I wouldn't do his hair here if nobody wasn't here. You know, not that, I mean, for my benefit and for his, you know, and that was just the appearance of things that, you know, I didn't know him well enough, and I mean, I know he don't know me that well enough, and I didn't want to be in no closed house, you know, with somebody, just period. So we just got to be careful, because, you know, we can find ourselves, you know, in innocent, we thinking that it's an innocent situation, but we can find ourselves in trouble, and we wonder how we got there when this was just simply a conversation or just simply whatever, you know, it is. So we just have to be careful. I mean, we just have to.
We ask to be honest on this show. I know that when I left South Carolina State to go to my first job, which was in Virginia, Montrose, Virginia, it was easy for me to, I noticed some things, and I became aware of some things, and I had some things I wasn't aware of, and somebody had to bring to my attention, and one of them was an older black gentleman brought to my attention. He said, you know, you need to stop allowing those girls to congregate in your room in the morning. And I didn't think anything of it, but I was 23 or 24 years of age. That was the closest to that, you know, fresh out of college is the closest you're going to be to these young girls who are seniors in terms of your work when you first get out of school and they become seniors. And, there were times when I would say to them, you know, where do y'all older sisters hang out at? You know, because I was new to town and didn't know anything or where to go. But I wasn't interested in them, but I did inquire to where the older people were who were my age, where they were. And so, and I did notice that there were teachers who seemingly were too close to their students. And that when that man came to talk to me, that was one of the things that really protected me throughout my career. I learned how to stay my distance. And sometimes people will say, well, how can you really help students? Well, you can't help students if you betray yourself. And so you have to be real careful about how you interact with them and their misconceptions about what it is that you're doing or saying. I remember having a young lady in my class who was fully developed, and she loved to sit in the front of the classroom. And one day I just had to ask her to come go with me, and I took her across the hall to another teacher who was a female and just asked that teacher to explain to her why it's not good for her to be sitting in the front of my classroom dressed the way she was dressing. And so, you know, sometimes you have to be real conscious of what's going on around you so that you don't allow yourself to become victimized by your environment. And so, we have to be careful. We can all be very innocent. When a young lady or a young woman is crying because somebody is mistreating her and she wants you to comfort her, and then that desire comes out of you to be Prince Charming, and that's not where you intended for it to go. So, Kathy, there are a lot of situations where you can be very honest and not doing the wrong thing, but get caught up into a bad situation.
That's why, as men, you guys have to be very careful and not allow some tears and some smiles to pull you in. Because as women, we have a way of pulling a man in. I mean, it even talks about it in the Bible about the eyes of a woman and how, you know, she can entice a man. And like you said, sometimes you think it's for a good deed, but it could be for something else. So you guys have to be very careful, as well as us as women. But I'm as you guys were talking, I was thinking about a scripture, and it's in the book of Romans, and it talks about, for what I do not do, the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, I do what I do not want. It is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me, because, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So our inner man wants to do right, but our outer man, which is the flesh, is the one that wants to do wrong and is always there present. You know, when we say we're going to do something good, evil is always there trying to make us do something bad. So we have to figure out how to overpower that the flesh, because it's always warring against our spiritual being.
And you're so right. And Ms. Jones, how do we win battles that people in the scriptures fell prey to? You know, we're talking about praying up, but we also look in the Bible and see men who were supposed to be the strongest believers in God there was, but yet women were still able to bring them to their knees. So how are we as modern-day humans supposed to be able to fight the battles and win when those in the scriptures fell prey to the same thing?
Well, as we all know, the Bible repeats itself. And the battle starts in the mind. And, you know, you just got to be intact with yourself. And like you mentioned earlier, that David was a prayed-up man. Even though he was a prayed-up man, he still had a carnal side. Even though he was prayed-up, he was still not sinless. So, you know, the only thing you can do, really, is just pray. And I do believe, now this is just my belief, that some of the actions for us as an adult comes from our childhood. You know, some of the things that we saw in our childhood may be wrong, but we may have thought they were right, and we emulate certain people. We emulate our mothers. We emulate our fathers. I'm not saying that everything they did was right, you know, but you just got to be prayed up.
And
it is
Andre,
a hard...
Go ahead and finish this song.
It's a hard battle to fight. It really is. You know, one side said do this way, the other side said do that way. And if you're not prayed up, you know, you will be straddling the fence most of the time. But if you're prayed up and keep your eyes on the prize, you're more intent to do the right thing and not be so tempted and not be tempted easily. Not to say that you won't be tempted, but you won't be so easily tempted.
But there are things that you might think are harmless comes when something is harmless and that you don't see any evil in it at all, and then Andre, you're in the mix before you even see the trip line.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because it's not your intention, but like you said, by the time you realize it, sometimes you're in so deep, that's where the struggle really, really, you know, becomes a challenge. So you're correct.
You know, some people go into a meeting thinking that, okay, I need this job, or I need this opportunity, and I've been called in, and then you find out that there's more than one reason for you being requested to come in, and then you have to figure out what it is that you're going to do, Cheryl, or what are my options, or how do I remain in control?
Oh, not yet. And now, I guess you got to keep the objective in mind. You know, what is your purpose for being there, and it's to get a job. And then you got to remember that you're not going to get this job based upon only on your work profession, not on what the person that's hiring you may have in mind. And you got to know when to walk away. And, I mean, because there is a job out there for you, it may not just be that job. And I know that, you know, we're faced with that a lot of times. But that's what temptation is. And we got to know how to be able to walk away from it.
All right. You know, it's just the littlest things can turn out and create the biggest messes. And sometimes we just don't understand and are not aware of how deep it is before we know we have to start swimming. We're going to take our first break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you wanna do. Can't let nobody take it away from you, from me, from we. No time for moping around, are you kidding? And no time for negative vibes, cause I'm winning. My heart is gonna live my life. for my lady, so I must stay classy. Gotta keep it high, keep it together if I want to get better.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshaies2.com. That's JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. One of the things we need to talk about, too, is somebody spoke about it. Sometimes we put our children at risk, and our because we innocently do things that might lend themselves to them getting involved early. And I think that happened with my parents. I think my parents were, there was a time period when Black Americans who were on the rise really enjoyed getting together and having home parties and playing cards. And my father built a garage into a party area, and that was where the bar was, and his friends would come over, and they would congregate in the bar area. And they would bring, you know, everybody would bring their kids over. They wouldn't say you can't bring your kids. And they'd bring their kids over, and they would put us in a room watching TV. And early on, as I look back, that was just not a safe, you know, they should have had somebody babysit all of us and play games with us or do something with us, not just let sit all of us in a room watching TV, girls and boys. And so, I think that was introduced something to me that didn't need to be introduced to me at a very young age. And I've also saw things as adults. I remember seeing something that just blew my mind, and I had to say something and speak up when I was in a relationship with a lady who would allow her son to come and sit on the stool and to talk to her while she was taking a bath. And I told her, I said, hey, listen, you need to stop that. Your son does not need to see you taking no bath, having no conversation. He can wait till you get finished and have a conversation with you. And I would tell her, I said, you know, a boy, the first woman that a boy sees half-dressed is either his mother or his sister. And at that point in his life, that's not a good time to just be introducing him to stuff, prelude to his interest. And so, you know, a lot of times we need to be real careful about what we do in front of our children and our grandchildren, because those things will lend themselves to them starting that journey into that period where they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Cheryl, your thoughts about that?
You know, that could be everlasting imprint, because right now there's this man, he's never been faithful to his wife, and he married his first wife twice, now and sending her through a lot. And meanwhile, he really almost like hate his father because he has become his father. He has seen the things that his father has done, and he picked those things up early on when his father was having, you know, all these women, and he seen that his mother and father split because of it. And he went on to have many women in his life and, you know, and couldn't figure out, you know, why he was hating his father. But the reason was is because of what was seen in front of him and the example that his father gave him. And in that case, I looked at it as the father was living his life, not living the life as an example to the children. And wind up hurting, you know, the children. And as much as he tried to, you know, or he say he tried to, but, you know, he's got this name, you just like your father. I mean, just like your father. So, yeah, it can happen, you know, in many situations. And then some people may not want to take on that at all and be the total opposite. So, yeah, we got to, you know, we got to know what we are doing. You know, that's why they say, you know, we just don't have children just to be having children. And when we marry, we should not enter into it lightly. So with that is that, you know, we want to be able to know who we are marrying and who we are having children for. And it don't always turn out to be that way, but it's good if we can really know, because sometimes when they say marriage, or you know how they say the piece of paper, it can change a person to somebody you think, you know, I really didn't know this person. And in some cases, you know, we see the signs, but in some cases they hold on, they hold out that until after they marriage. So we just got to live, you know, exampled life.
Kathy, what are your thoughts about that? Not really recognizing that we need to live a certain type of life in front of our children, because things that we do innocently can have an impact on them and how they interact with people outside of ourselves.
Well, you know what, James, as you were when you were explaining how you and, you know, the other friends were in the room, it just brought back memories, because that's exactly how it went down in our house on Friday nights and Saturdays. All the family member and the friends, because my parents played cards on the weekend, and everybody came to our house. And if they didn't come to our house, we went to another one of my mom's closest friends' house, and we were all in the room together, just either watching TV or playing some kind of games. Now, it didn't affect me in any way. I mean, I did see some things that they did, you know, the drinking, a little bit of the cussing and smoking and all of that. But I think as growing up as a child, those are some of the things that sometimes you as a child want to experiment. Some kids want to experiment. I have a cousin. We were together. Now, I did it. I experimented with everything. And her, on the other hand, she didn't, because she saw the effects that it had on everybody else. So she was like, no, I'm not going to smoke anything. I'm not going to drink. I think it's an individual mindset. Now, there are some people and some instances where, you know, people grow in those type of situations, those type of circumstances, and it does affect them wholeheartedly, like them becoming alcoholics or, you know, out in the streets. But for us, it didn't happen, and thank God. I know a couple of my brothers do drink, but they did drink heavily, but I think it was just because they got out there in that environment, I'm just saying, and, you know, just began to go wholeheartedly with it. But thank God now they're not drinking, but they did go through that experience. So I don't know. I can't really say no. I don't think it's a good thing, because I've heard of kids that were covered, I mean, surrounded and didn't have any of that, and they went out there and they acting even a double fool. So who knows, you know, which way is the best way. All I can say is cover your kids, you know, and if you can, and like you said, take them to another place or something, you know, have someone to go in there with them, a older person, I don't know, but we're everyone that I know and was around, we're fine.
I hear you. Andre, what is your thoughts about how we raise our children and how we have to be careful what kind of plant seeds we plant in their heads as they're raising up around us, trying to get them to adulthood without them being devastated? Are you there, Andre? Welcome, Regina. How you doing? We're just talking about forbidden love, Regina, and how we have to be careful about the kinds of things we allow in our eye gates and in our ear gates as we move forward, and not selecting the right types of love to get involved with. And I sent out a bunch of articles about teachers somehow finding themselves getting involved with students. But what we're talking about is just dealing with a lifestyle that was biblical as well as present day, where people sometimes get caught up in the wrong type relationship and it becomes devastating.
Hi. Hey, Kathy, I was thinking about you today. I'm going to call you later on.
Sweetie.
But the same Kathy here with me as James was talking about the party and everybody being in one room. I think I'd have been safer out there with the adults. Those were some interesting days, and you go in those rooms and your parents are saying, well, you know, they're like brothers and sisters, or they're like cousins, so everything is okay. And boy, the things you learned in that room with your quote-unquote like brother or your quote-unquote like sister or like cousin. Looking back on my life, I wish that I, where I am now in life, I wish I were there when my daughter was younger. I wish I were a stronger believer in some of the things that I showed, that I did in front of her may not, it wouldn't have been the way things were. Now I'm doing things in front of her that are so much more pure, so much more Christ-like. And that's a deep wall to have to tear down in front of my daughter. But I'm hoping that she'll see, and she'll still see, and she'll still learn from where I am now. But I get what you guys are saying. I get it.
Well, in this intimacy and love, there was a lifelong battle, and some people are able to avoid the pitfalls that come with not selecting the right road to travel. I tell people all the time, I'm a better man married than I am unmarried, because I take certain things that I have no doubt I won't do as a married man become an option as an unmarried man. And so I have to be careful. I spend a lot of time at home. I don't spend no time out in the street. And but you are impacted by these computers and everything that so easily can come into your home. So you have to be on guard 24/7 to just try not to be impacted by things that are going on around you. When I'm down at the museum, it's one of the worst parts of town in the whole city of Orlando. See, you see a lot of hookers around. You see people walking around, and they're interacting with you because they're coming and asking you for money. They're coming and asking you for work. They're coming in, and so you see all kinds of things around you. You know, people who are on crack, people who are just worlds have been devastated by their inability to say no. And so you have to be real careful about what you're around and how you allow it to get in your spirit. You were saying, Regina?
Well, I think I heard what you were saying in that I don't know. I'm a better person now, and I just wish that, you know, I'd been that person then. It's been said that, you know, in the Bible, you know, you don't know how many people you hurt when you are that old person, to realize that people are watching you and people are emulating what you're doing, what they see you doing. And, you know, when you know better, you do better. So now, James, you're a better person now. And all of us are.
Our final break, and we're going to come back and allow everyone to have their final word.
Thinking back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized second chance, you've got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to share.
have to tell you, I'm not sure what happened, but here we are on Love and Romance Friday, and I don't have any men. D was here for a little while, and he left, and I'm not so sure why the men deserted me on this particular day. But Cheryl, what is your final thought for the day? One of the things I thought about as I reflect on my spirituality, so much of who I am spiritually came from my mother. You know, my father was not a big church goer, and he fought with the devil in regards to him being totally committed to his marriage. But I do realize that a lot of who, what makes me, when I say I'm a better man married than unmarried, is because when I've been married, the women have been the guiding and strength and getting me to be more spiritual, be more committed to my church and to my prayer life and to those kinds of things. And when I'm left to my own, I tend to allow those things to, we really need to be understanding and thoughtful of the fact that we fight, we are constantly fighting a battle between our flesh and our moral values and our spiritual side, and the only thing that protects us is our committed faith to that spiritual side. Cheryl?
Well, as usual, very, very, very good platform this Friday. I really enjoyed it. One thing that I have to say is that each individual have to be themselves and being the best person that they could be. And sometimes the best, you know, as I heard, is all that you can do and all that you can give at that time. But as we grow and we know better, we do better. Because I can also say that everything that I've done has not been, you know, perfect, but as I grow, and especially as I grow in the Word, I understand things a whole lot better, and that's all we can do is to grow to achieve the ultimate goal.
All right. I want you to, you ladies, to remember, y'all need to get on those guys for leaving me here all by myself. Kathy, your final thought for this evening.
Hey, James, we didn't talk any about love and romance, so I wanted to say that first. But second, I wanted to say that we each have a testimony, and without that testimony, we wouldn't be who we are today. And some may still be dealing with different issues and different things that are going on and that will continue to go on until we leave this earth. It's what we do through our tests for our testimony. And Regina, I believe in my spirit that your daughter sees you as the woman you are today, not as who you were, but as the woman that you are today. And I believe that she's going to take everything that she has learned from you to be even a better woman for her children. So sometimes things happen in our life where we have no control over, but God sometimes allows those things to happen so that we'll know that, hey, that was the past and this is the future. As you go and you are going, and as the doors begin to open, and they are beginning to open, your testimony is going to take you to the level that God has ordained for you. You are a powerful woman. You are a strong woman. I see you on Facebook, and I love everything about you. So know from where I am to where you are loved. And I know that there are many more people that are thinking the same thing, but just not had the opportunity to say it to you. So I love you, sister, and keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Andre, your final thought for this evening?
Love conquers all.
Okay. All right, Regina, your final thought for this evening.
Y'all, I'm trying to put it on.
Okay, there it is. I'm trying to put it so I can speak carefully, clearly. Yes, we did not specifically talk about love, but
we talked about forbidden love.
Forbidden love, that's right. And I want to share this, that the love that I have grown into over these last few months has covered me from forbidden love. It has been remarkable. The discerning spirit that's just in me. Lord, and I will say that I received my certificate from a class that I was taking, an evangelizing class. I received that last night, so I'm very proud of that. And I just want everybody to just keep doing what they're doing, keep building each other up, building up, casting your nets, making people happy, and just enjoying life. I'll tell you all my story one day. Today was a miracle-filled day. Still don't have a place to live yet. Still don't have a place to live yet. But the miracles that happened today strengthened other people were phenomenal. And I'll share it with you all one day. But y'all have a great evening.
Evangelist Regina, Yes, Evangelist Regina. Yes. And let me just say the blessing that was received today is only the beginning. You have even more blessings in store for you. And I've been missing a while, so I apologize. So I'm not sure exactly what all that you've been facing, but I do know that we missed you. And I tell you what, if it's anything that we can do for you, please let us know to do so in a deep prayer. But just know that you are blessed, you are favored, you are equipped. The Lord has given you the opportunity to speak and led and guided according to his will. And please just hold on to Jeremiah 29:11, where the Lord is speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Where
that's right.
He knows the good plan, and that plan is a good for you. And when God say it's good, it's better than we can imagine. So you hold on to be strong, my sister. And please just let us know what we can do, because we are a family. I mean, just getting to know each other on the different views and stuff. Just know that you appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'll keep you guys informed if we have to go further with this and start a new movement, which I do pray that we start some sort, we re-energize that movement where we stand for something so we won't fall for anything. Just we just got to do that, because there's something else out here. Y'all, we see it every day when we talk about it. So thank you all. I appreciate you.
All right. Just let me say that, again, I do not want you all to forget we are manless except for myself, and that we have to get on them guys, because all of them left me in my time of need. And so I need y'all to tell them that they can't be absent on Love and Romance Fridays, because I can't just be here unprotected. And so, everybody,
James,
take care.
James, no. I've never heard a man that want more men when he's by himself with women. What the world?
Now, there are some situations where men need help. And I indeed, so it went smoothly. It could have been dangerous. So I just want to say we need to make sure that the men show up on Love and Romance Fridays. and don't leave me at the mercy of my female co-workers. So y'all take care, and we'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Saturday on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where your voice is heard loud and clear without interruption.
I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold wine and dance to the music nice and slow. Under any kind of pressure.